If you would open it to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, help us now to preach. Help us to encourage God's people to do those things that we are commanded, those things that are necessary. Lord, I pray that we would be what we ought to be, what we're supposed to be. Give us an unction to go and to do. Give us a burden. We will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll bring you a little message tonight entitled "Coming, Going, and Coming Again." That's the way it seems like around some place. You ever notice people just seem to be coming and going? And they come and they go and then they come again. Kind of wears you out sometimes. It's like some houses that's got a revolving door in it. But that's not the kind of coming and going I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about bringing people to Christ. Such an absolute necessity. I know how hard it is. Anymore, it seems like when you mention church to people, you're asking them to drink poison or donate a kidney or something. I ask folks to church all the time, and they get nervous, they get jittery, and they start making excuses, and they stammer and stutter. And I think, what did I say wrong? I mean, I didn't ask them to go out and take a drink or cheat on their wife or, you know. All I did was ask them to come to church. My goodness, man, I didn't ask you to commit suicide. I'm not going to put your head in the guillotine. It's been a long time since there have been any reported murders down at church. You know what I'm saying? But people really get uptight when you mention religion or church. Now, you can talk about any ungodly, wicked, hellish thing you want to, and they'll watch the most abominable trash on television and think nothing of it. And I'm here to tell you something. There's just virtually nothing left on television for a Christian person to watch. I mean, it's just... those sitcoms and stuff are just pure filth. We turn off the commercials. We don't watch them. We don't watch any of them. But I don't like to watch the commercials. The commercials are X-rated. But so-called saved people sit around and watch that stuff night and day, day in and day out. And the world watches it, and they don't think anything about it. The language doesn't bother them, the nudity, the innuendo, nothing. But mention church. And all of a sudden, they about have a heart attack. Well, what they need is church. They need to get in church. They need to find Christ. And, of course, one of the best places to do that ought to be down at the local church house. So I want to bring to you, just for a few minutes, and I really will try and be brief. One, I'm looking out of one eye. This eye right here is not focusing well tonight. Bring you a little message entitled, "Coming, Going, and Coming Again." Now, in our text, Matthew 11:28, it said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So, God has issued an invitation to the world to come to Him. Back in Revelation, it said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Jesus said, I want you to come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I knock at the door. Open up and we'll be friends and we'll fellowship. And the world doesn't want to open the door. They don't want to be friends with Christ. They don't want to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Yet God has offered an invitation, and it's the most incredible invitation ever offered to anybody at any time ever in the history of the world. So what has He offered? Well, first of all, He offered Himself. He gave Himself a sacrifice. He gave Himself a ransom to be testified of in due time. He gave His life. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I received this gift from my Father. So He gave Himself. He gave Himself to save us from our sins. He gave Himself to save the world. He gave Himself to pay mankind's sin debt. He gave Himself. And then He said, come unto me. Why? Because He said, I've done all that's necessary. I've paid the price. I've made the sacrifice. I've atoned for your sins. I've paid the debt. Come and receive it. And so the invitation that He gives to come is to come to a Savior who gave Himself and who has already purchased our salvation, who has already paid the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're dead in trespasses and sin. He purchased you eternal life, and He said, come and get it. And He says you can get it without price, without payment. It doesn't cost you anything. Everything that salvation costs, Jesus Christ already did. And all He's saying now is, come unto me and I'll give it to you. Receive it. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so when He says, come unto me, He's saying, come to me, to Jesus, the one who paid your sin debt. What offer could be better than the offer that Jesus Christ has made? The one that He invites you to come and take. You were destined for an eternity in a literal burning hell. You were destined to spend eternity in agony and torment. You were destined for an eternity of darkness, of woe, of damnation, of destruction. That's the future of every unsaved man, woman, boy, and girl that ever drew a breath or ever will draw a breath on this planet. Yet Jesus Christ said, I came, I paid that debt, I've atoned for it, I've made a peace between God and the sinner, I've restored that fellowship. All you have to do is come and receive it. And when you mention it, they go into a panic. He wants to keep you out of a devil's hell. He wants to keep you from an eternity of torment. He wants to keep you from suffering. He wants to keep you from the blackness of darkness forever and ever. When Jesus says, come unto me, buddy, that's the best invitation you ever had in your life. And yet people act like that we're wanting them to lay down their life or donate their kidney or something. When the truth is, all He wants to do is do good to you. Why did Jesus Christ make the offer? The Bible said, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, there's salvation in no other name. There's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. You know why Jesus says, come unto me? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Why do men need to come to Christ? Because that's where eternal life is at. Why do men need to come to Christ? Because that's where forgiveness is at. Why do men need to come to Christ? Because there's no other way to be redeemed. Because nobody else shed their blood. Nobody else lived a sinless life. Nobody else is God manifest in the flesh. The only place you can get it is to Him. So He said, come unto me. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. It's the job of the church, one of the jobs of the church, is to lift up and exalt Jesus Christ. It is our job to point unsaved men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. We're not to point them to King James Baptist Church or Pastor Hensley or anybody in that church. Our job is to lift up Jesus Christ, magnify and exalt Him, and point everybody to Him and reiterate the invitation that He made, come unto me, referring to Jesus Christ. The first step in the process is coming. Now, hopefully, I'm addressing a body of people who have obeyed that first command. Come unto me. If you're here tonight and you say, well, preacher, I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm on my way to the city. Amen? I'm a child of the King. I know that I know that I know that I know I've passed from death unto life. Amen. I know that I'm a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God foreordained that we should walk in them. I know that I'm a child of the King. Amen. All right. You say, when He gave that admonition, come unto me, I heard that thing and I obeyed from my heart. And I came and I received Christ as my Savior, and I'm saved. The Bible said, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the Son of God. I received Christ, and I'm saved by God's amazing, marvelous, matchless grace. Amen? Everybody here saved?
Amen.
Are they claiming you are? Good. Then I'm going to go to point two. Go ye. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who was that statement directed to? All the people who had come. All the people that, when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, they said, that's me. I'm operating under a heavy burden. I've got the burden of sin and the shame of sin and the guilt of sin all my life, and it burdens me down and it bows my back, and I can barely stand up under the burden of my sin and my condemnation. And when Jesus said, come, they ran to Jesus Christ. They came as fast as they could. And they received God's Son, and they got eternal life as a free gift. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus told that crowd, the ones who had came. He said, now go ye. All you folks that are saved, all you folks that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, all you folks that say, boy, I thank God I'm a child of the King. If I died tonight, I know that I know that I know I'd be in heaven before my body hit the ground. Amen. Preacher, if I die tonight, don't you worry about me. Y'all go ahead and have a big old celebration. Amen. I was over in the Philippines one time, and I wasn't a Christian, and we were down in Manila, one of the largest cities in the Philippines, and we're going down the main street, and we got caught up in this crowd. Man, they was playing music and dancing and boogalooing, and we thought they was having some kind of parade. And so finally we found somebody could speak a little English, and we wanted to find out what was going on, you know. Because we're right in the middle. They're going down the road. We're right in the middle. We're going with them. To come find out it was a funeral procession. Somebody died, and they was partying. I thought, man, some people will use any excuse, won't they? They weren't mourning, man. They was kicking up their heels. They was eating and drinking and dancing and carrying on the street. And I thought, you know, after I got saved, I thought, man, that's what we ought to do when a Christian dies. It ought to be party time. Well, if I die tonight, and I'm not planning on it, but if I do, amen, and y'all hear my wife calls y'all up in the morning all weepy-eyed and all that stuff, and said, I just want to call and let you know, preacher passed away last night in his sleep. And that knife in his back had nothing to do with it. Preacher passed away. Don't y'all get upset. Don't shed a tear. Now, if you want to cry for my wife and her loneliness, because God knows, I know in my heart her life's going to be unbearable without me. I cannot imagine how she's going to get along without me. But don't weep for me. I'm going to be up in glory. Here's a fellow who's 205 pounds that for the first time in his life, in 33 years at least, I'm going to get to look at what I've been talking about. I'm going to get to see Jesus Christ. I want to see the throne. I want to see glory land. I want to see the streets of gold. I want to see the river of life. I'm going to see the cherubim and the seraphim. Amen. I want to walk up and down among the stones of fire. I want to be able to come and go faster than the speed of light. I want to be able to go from here to there just by thinking about it. I want to get out of the shackles of this old body. I want to be free from pain and sorrow. I don't want nothing to hold me down. Now listen, don't you worry about me. If I die tonight, I'll be the happiest camper in glory. First thing I do when I get to heaven, I'm going to find my brother and I'm going to knock him down. He's got it coming. I was the eldest. I got saved first. I prayed him in. He beat me home. And I've held a grudge about that ever since. folks who were saved, he said, go ye. And go where? Into all the world. Now, you know, I thought about that one time. That's a great way to do it. God is so clever. You know, you never can outsmart him. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to him? I mean, he said, go ye into all the world. You know why he said it that way? So that nobody can say, well, there's no place for me to go. Nobody can say, well, he didn't leave me specific directions. Because everywhere is your place. You can't go any place you ain't been commanded not to go to. Amen? See how clever he is? He's got you. You can't say, well, Lord, you just never gave me direction. Yeah, he did. So go into all the world. Are you in the world? Well, there you are. Amen? What do you do when you go into all the world? Preach the gospel. Amen? Well, boy, I got you now because, we're Baptists and we're Southern and there's just some folks we don't have nothing whatever to do with. Nope, not in here. Not in here. In here it said, go ye into all the world and ye preach the gospel to every creature. So, well, preacher, I'm deep south. Yeah, I know you're a bigot. Well, it's okay with me. I am too. I got my hang-ups like you do. And by the way, they do too. I never met anybody that ain't got them. You know what, though? You got to overcome them. Amen. It said, all the world preach the gospel to every creature. That means God wants them black folks saved just like He wants them white folks saved. And He wants them Orientals. And even Toyota drivers. That shows you the breadth of God's love right there. Amen? Them foreigners in NASCAR, and God would still save them, buddy. That's grace. Go ye into all the world. Now, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. So I glean from that that there's a... When you go, you ought to go with a burden. There's a specific job to be done. There are men and women, boys and girls out there who are lost. Who don't know Christ, who are not saved, and if they die, they're not going home to glory. Now I know, every time you read the newspaper, and somebody got killed in a car wreck, or a gunfight, or a knife fight, or whatever it was, every one of them was good little old youngins. Every one of them was the friendliest, the brightest, the smartest. They all loved everybody. You never read one bad thing about anybody. You ever pick up one of them things? And so here some boy got killed 3 o'clock in the morning in a drunken rage doing 130 miles an hour in his pickup truck. And got him and his girlfriend and his dog all killed. And the obituary said, scumbag kid, always rebellious, lived like hell, died drunk, died with his slut, he's dead and in hell. That might be the truth, but you ain't going to read that. You're going to read, he was a good boy. He loved everybody, and everybody loved him. That's the reason the back seat was full of beer bottles. Amen? Sure. That's the reason he was out at 3 o'clock in the morning when he's 17. That's the reason you could put his whole truck in the back of cigarettes because he hit that truck that tree at 130 miles an hour. Because that's the way good kids behave. Oh, where was I going with that? Anybody remember? I was just having fun. Go ye. To everybody. The ones you like, the ones you don't like, the ones you would like to get saved, the ones you'd like to see die and go to hell. God wants them all saved. God wants them all saved. And if you're true to your calling and you're true to God's commission, you'll go into all the world and you'll have a burden for everybody. They said one of the things that made Dr. Jack Hiles, the great man that he was and the great soul winner he was, Dr. Hiles didn't look at people as black and white or yellow or male or female or young or old. He saw everybody as a soul. That's a great gift. He didn't let whether they were rich or poor influence him. He didn't let whether they were educated or uneducated influence him. He didn't let whether they were a doctor or a lawyer or whether they were a garbage collector influence him. If it walked, talked, and breathed, if it had life in its body, as far as he was concerned, it was the soul Jesus Christ died for. Amen. And by that Bible said, go ye into all the world. And Dr. Howes went everywhere he went, winning souls for Jesus Christ. And that's what we all ought to be doing. Now, I'm here to tell you, York County ain't all saved. Now, sometimes you might think that they are, because of the high standard of morality in our community. Amen? But you would be wrong if you made that assumption. York County's not all saved. Now, I know if you go to the prison, you think everybody's saved. Because I preached that there for years and years, and I never met a lost man. Brother Lewis, Brother Steve, my wife, Miss Martin, we joke sometimes about the prison ministry, and we call it our ministry to the saints in prison. Because they all saved. You go out there and ask every one of them, they all say, every one of them saved. Some of them been back out there 3 or 4 times. For dope and prostitution, God only knows what all. But every time you ask them, oh, preacher, I know I'm saved. I got saved when I was 2 months old. You know, some stupid thing. They're just lost as they can be. Lost as they can be. But everybody you talk to saved. You talk to folks, you know, they made a profession in Daily Vacation Bible School at some Southern Baptist church when they was 4 or 5 years old. There wasn't any repentance. There wasn't any change in their life. They haven't been faithful to church. They don't tithe, they don't read, they don't pray, they don't witness. They go places and do things that they should not do that ought to bother their conscience, but it does not convict them. They live like any other lost, unsaved, unregenerate reprobate that ever drew a breath. But if you talk to them or talk to their mom and daddy, their mom and daddy say, well, I know he's saved because I remember in the third grade, they went to Daily Vacation Bible School. And he come home one day, and I think it was the second or third day of Vacation Bible School, and told me he received Jesus into his heart. And mom and daddy are willing to live with that and trust that. And 90% of them kids that did that stuff are lost and on their way to hell. It's going to be a shocking, shocking day when we get out of glory and the number of people that have told preachers eyeball to eyeball and face to face, oh, preacher, don't worry about me. I'm okay. I'm saved. I got everything's all right between me and my Maker. You know, you're going to wake up in hell these days too. I'm here to tell you, people that get saved get regenerated. People who get saved get converted. Nobody that gets saved is the same after salvation as they were before salvation. Saved people live different, think different. We have different idea about right and wrong. Amen. It's going to be a bad day at Black Rock when we hit the judgment one of these days. To go into all the world, go with a burden. Say, why? We need a burden because them folks are lost. A lot of them are deceived. They've been sold a counterfeit, a bill of goods. And they're going to perish without God. And you and I need to have a burden for them. It's not right for us to sit around and say, well, I'm saved and I'm sealed and my family's okay. And I just ain't worried about nobody else. They on their own. That's not a Christian attitude. Christ died for the world. Amen. He died for you. And you better thank God somebody prayed for you and somebody witnessed to you and somebody preached to you and you finally got in. Amen. You better try as hard as you can to return that favor. People say, well, preacher, I just have a hard time talking to people. No, you lying old devil. You ain't got no hard time talking to nobody. Just talk about NASCAR. Talk about Oprah. You find folks can talk about anything. Every person I ever run into that said, well, I'm just not good at talking to people. What they meant was, I'm not good about talking to people about God. But I'm good at talking to people about everything I'm interested in. I'm good at talking to people about anything that's not controversial. I'm real good at talking to folks about almost anything that we find interesting. I'm just not going to talk to people about God. Well, that's personal, you know. Your God connection is between you and your Maker. Who told you that? You can get that out of the Bible. God wants you to stick your nose in their business when it comes to spiritual stuff. Amen. Well, preacher, you know, people get offended. Listen, they are on their way to hell. The only thing worse than the condition they're in is if they die and end up there today. Amen? So if you witness to them, if they get a little upset, a little uptight, don't worry about it. They're dead in trespasses and sins anyway. But if you don't say something, they definitely will end up in hell. Better to risk it. So, well, they won't like me. Well, whoever said they were supposed to like you? I found out from personal experience now for the last 30 plus years that people not liking you is not such a bad place to be. I've grown accustomed to it. And quite honestly, it has its advantages. We need to go with a burden, but we also need to go with compassion. Sometimes Christians try to witness to unsaved folks, and we do it in the worst possible way. We talk down to them. Now, you're in no position to talk down to anybody. If you're saved, it's by the grace of God. It ain't because you was the queen of the hop. It ain't because you was Mr. Prince Charming. It wasn't because God saw something in you that wasn't in somebody. You're just a sinner. Deserving to die and go to straight to hell, that's what you deserve. So if you're saved, it ain't nothing but God's amazing grace. Amen. It's a mystery of mysteries why God reached down to save any of us at all. Amen. And so you're in no position to look down or talk down to anybody else. You say, well, she's just an old harlot. She's been with everybody in town. She ain't nothing but white trash. My mother-in-law used to call them old string guts. A nasty sounding term, ain't it? You ever notice that there's some terms that we don't use them? Because people, you can listen to filth all day long in your television, but if a preacher talks plain, y'all have a heart attack. Amen? We never call a woman or a man a whore hopper anymore. Don't that sound awful? I mean, that's just a nasty. I mean, it's just awful. I think that's good. It ought to look wicked. It ought to be awful. It ought to be repulsive. When's the last time you heard some old ballroom girl referred to as a slut? Or she's just an old street-walking whore? Oh, preacher, we can't talk. We've got dignified ladies, and there's children in the audience. Yeah, and you've got a television. Get off my case. Amen. But you know, there's just some words that make things sound really bad. Amen? They didn't have an affair. They cheated on their husband and their wife. They're fornicators. They're adulterers. Preacher, that just sounds so harsh. Good, because that's a terrible thing. It ought to sound harsh. Why in the world would we make it pleasant or nice? It ought to be just as nasty as it can be. Or make you cringe when you hear it. Yet, you and I need to have compassion when we talk to that sinner. We ought to make their sin as bad as it can be. But when you talk to somebody, you are in the same boat. So I'll tell you right now, preacher, I would never wear them kind of... That's not the kind of woman I was. No, you was proud and haughty, wasn't you? You just as wicked as that unsavory woman. She was loose. But you was just as wicked. You was just proud of you being better than her. You know, the first sin in the Bible is the sin of pride. The hardest sin for you to correct. You know, it's easier to quit being a streetwalker than it is to give up your pride. God can deal with that sin of the flesh a lot easier than He can deal with the sin of your heart. Because there ain't nothing as hard and as wicked and as resistant to the power of God as the heart of man. Amen. So, when we go... We ought to go. We ought to be honest and open about sin and its awfulness and its terribleness. But I'll tell you what, considering that we were in the same boat and deserving of the same condemnation, we ought to go with a little compassion. Amen? Amen. We ought to go, and I'm not saying compromise, but I'll tell you what, when you talk to somebody about going to hell, you ought to do it with a tear in your eye. You ought to do it saying, I'm saying this, I'm doing this, I'm sticking my nose in your life for your good. I'm trying to help you because I see where you're headed. You're headed down a road where the bridge is out and where you're going to go over the precipice and self-destruct when you hit the bottom. I'm trying to save you from an eternity in hell. And you ought to do that with tears in your eyes. You ought to do that with conviction. You ought to have to do that with sorrow. We ought to do that, and the sincere desire of our heart ought to be to reach that person for Jesus Christ and deliver them from the wrath to come. Not only should we go with a burden, and we ought to go with compassion, it would be wonderful if we would go with some knowledge. Now, I'm going to be as kind as I can be here. But the truth is, it's very difficult to be kind about folks who've been saved a while and don't know how to lead anybody to Christ. There's no excuse for that. Every person is saved by God's grace. In just a little while, you ought to know enough about your Bible. You ought to have enough confidence in your Savior to be able to present the story of your conversion to any lost man, woman, boy, girl, anywhere, anytime. Be ready always to give a reason for the hope that lies in you. Amen? And God's people ought to be able to tell somebody how to get home to glory, how to receive Christ. It's not rocket science. It is not complicated. You say, well, I just don't know enough Bible. Well, why not? You've been saved a year. You've been saved 5 years. Are you retarded? Can you not learn a verse or two? Go down to the Christian bookstore and get you some cards. They sell little packs down there, and they've got verses printed on one side, and they've got where it comes from, you know, like Jeremiah 33:3 on one side. Then you turn the card over, and it says, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It gives you the address on one side and the verse on the other. Get you a pack of them things and put one of them in your shirt pocket. Take it out about a dozen times a day and read it. And stick it back in your pocket and say it to yourself. Stick it on the mirror where you shave and brush your teeth. Stick it on the rearview mirror in your car. And in just, a couple of months, you'll learn that verse. Amen. There's no reason in the world you can't learn a verse a day, but surely to goodness you can learn one verse a week. Well, that means in a year's time you'd know 52 verses. You know how many verses there are in the average plan of salvation? There ain't a dozen. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:12, Romans 6:10, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9-13. Amen? All of sin comes short of glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but by His mercy and He saved us. I mean, anybody can learn that little thing. And if you can't memorize it, you know what you do? You've got a Bible without a bunch of junk in it. Well, here's somebody who went off the left there. Is this a thing? Just turn over there. Romans 3:10. Turn to Romans 3:10. Write it in the front of your Bible. First verse, Romans road, Romans 3:10. Then go over to Romans 3:10 and underline it and put right beside it Romans 3:23. Go down to Romans 3:23 and write right beside of that Romans 5:8. Go down to Romans 5:8 and write in the margin Romans 5:12. Go down to Romans 5:12 and write Romans 6:10. And then go down to Romans 6:10 and write Romans 6:23. Go down to Romans 6:23 and write Romans 10:9-13. And underline all them verses. So all you got to do is you pick up your Bible, turn to the front, and it says Romans 3:10. Just like you was a Bible scholar. Now the Bible said right here in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Now the Bible said right here in Romans 6:23, for all of sin comes short of glory of God. Amen. Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And you got it marked right there, and you just go from one to the other, just like you knew what you was doing, and you don't have no squat. All you need is a little New Testament you can stick in your shirt pocket, and you can be a soul winner. Amen. But you know what? It won't do any good if we don't go. If we don't go and talk to sinners, and if we don't go and talk to them about their soul. If all we want to talk to them about is the golf tournament we just finished up and the vacation we just had and where we're going to go next week and the restaurant we just ate at, that won't get anybody saved. You got to talk to them about God. So he said, go ye. Go with a burden. Go with compassion. Go with knowledge. We ought to learn a little something so we can talk to folks. Amen. You ought to go and you ought to go with the power of God on your life. You ought to get up every morning and pray and say, Lord, give me an opportunity to be a witness today. Lord, give me an opportunity to open my mouth. My wife and I have devotions every morning. We sit and read the Bible together and pray before we go to work, before I go to work. And every day, we pray that God will open the door somewhere that we'll be able to speak to somebody and say something for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? And then you spend the rest of the day looking for that door to open. Well, we prayed and asked God to open it, right? Yeah. Well, bless God, I'm looking for Him to do it. Amen? I think half the time when we pray stuff, we don't expect God to answer it. It's like one time back there in Texas, back in the early 30s, John R. Rice and them, they was having a big drought, and the cattle were dying, the crops were gone, and he was holding a revival meeting out there in some little old Texas town, and all the men decided on Sunday morning, they'd meet back at the church at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon and pray for rain. And so at 2 o'clock, everybody was there, but it's one old boy. And they kept looking and wanting to know where he was at. Back then they had pocket watches, you know, look at. About 5 minutes after 2, they looked down the road and here he come. And you know what that fool had? Had an umbrella. He's the only one. He's the only one that came to pray for God to send rain and end the drought. He's the only one that had an umbrella. You know what? The fellows didn't a bit more expect God to answer that prayer than the man in the moon. Amen? But when you pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to be a witness, start looking. Start looking. I'll tell you what, if you ask and look, 99 times out of 100, you'll find one. Amen. So we need to come to Christ, and He said, go ye. Then, point number 3 is come again. In Psalm 126 and verse 6, the Bible said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you come and go, you can come again, and this time you come rejoicing. If you come to Christ and get saved, and then you obey Christ's commandment to go into all the world, you will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. The ones you've won to God. If you'll go and pray and look and be diligent and be faithful, I guarantee you sooner or later you get one. You find one here and one over there. It may be few and far between. That might be a long time between. But I'll tell you what, if you'll stay at it and stick with it, sooner or later you get one. And you come back to church. You came. You went. And now when you come back, you're saying, preacher, I want you to meet so-and-so. He just got saved this week. And you'll be smiling, and he'll be smiling, and the church will be happy. Amen. Amen. Honest before God, I cannot tell you the joy, the thrill that it is when you're the one that God used to bring some old sinner to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What an absolutely amazing thing. What a jolt of energy that is. What a wake-up call that is. When you think, here I am a sinner, deserving to die and go to hell, yet the great God of glory saw fit to dwell in me and work through me and bring this other sinner to a saving knowledge. Here's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that was headed to hell just as sure as there's a God up in glory, but God worked through me and brought them to Christ, and they're saved, and now they're a child of the King, and now both of us are on our way to heaven. Hallelujah. If you ever do it, you won't ever get over it. You won't ever get over it. It's next to getting saved yourself. It's just about the best thing you ever do in your whole life. Yet there are countless Christians that don't look for an opportunity to be a witness. They're intimidated. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed of Christ. They never invite anybody to church, much less give them a gospel tract. They never talk one-on-one with a sinner and tell him that he's a sinner and tell him that Jesus loved him and Christ died for him and that he can have eternal life as a free gift. We never tell the story. What a tragedy. So, have you come to Christ? Then the commandment for you is, go ye. And if you'll go, you will doubtless come again, rejoicing. We ought to have a party down here every Sunday morning with some saints standing up and tears running down their face and their voice all shaky and say, Preacher, I just wanted to introduce my friend to you. I've been witnessing to him or her for a week, a month, or whatever, and we've been praying for him. And I just want you to know that Monday night or Thursday night or whatever it is, they knelt down and bowed their head and asked Christ to save them. And they're in church this morning, and they want to declare to the world what great things God has done for them. Well, I tell you what, you want something to liven our services up? That'll do it. That'll do it. That'll do it. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And thank you for your mercy. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us, embolden us, help us to just be brave.